Goodbye is a hard word to say. Some of you have had guests in from out of town, family members, and as they leave to go back north again, it's kind of difficult to say goodbye. On June the 13th, 1948, Babe Ruth, who arguably is one of the greatest baseball players of all time, stood at Yankee Stadium in front of a crowd of people who adored him and cheered for him for years and said goodbye. He was to die of cancer 2 months later. On August the 8th of 1974, President Nixon sat at his desk in a national television audience and said because of issues that had happened in his presidency, he was to resign. The next day, he walked from his office out to the waiting helicopter and waved goodbye. And regardless of our political affiliation, it was a sad day for us as Americans as we saw our leader have to say goodbye because of a disgraceful situation. Some of you have had to say goodbye to friends and family members who have gone off to Iraq or Afghanistan or other parts of the world, and it's difficult to hug them and say goodbye. There are others of you who have dropped off your daughters at school and you have cried tears as you said goodbye and recognized that they're not going to be in your home anymore. Some have given shouts of cheer, but others have said goodbye. It's sometimes very difficult to say goodbye to an elderly parent. I visit my mother, who is 93, and when you say goodbye to her, you never know for sure exactly what tomorrow is going to bring. When we look at the word goodbye, it's a word that comes from Old English, and it literally is a contraction of the phrase, God be with thee. And so when God be with thee, when we say goodbye, we are in effect saying to each other, may God be with you until we can meet again. When we say goodbye, we're always hopeful that there will be a reunion day or a day that we'll come back together again. Now, when we hear Jesus say goodbye, he didn't say, may God be with you, because he was God. You know what he said? Lo, I am with you until the uttermost parts of the world. Lo, I am with you until the very end. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts. Last week, we talked about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in the beginning of his ministry, it was a time of celebration, of joy. It was a time when the angels sang. It was a time when there was gifts that were brought to him. It was an absolutely wonderful experience. But today, we're going to talk about the other end. We're going to talk about the last days of his earthly ministry. We're talking about him leaving his earthly ministry, even as we talked last week about the beginning of that. And we know that after the resurrection, during those 40 days, it said that he appeared not only to his disciples, but to over 500 individuals, because he wanted to affirm in their mind that this was not a vision, this was not something that someone had made up, but this was the factual evidence that even though he had died, yet he was still alive. And so during those 40 days, it says that he showed himself to many individuals. Now, we don't talk a whole lot about the ascension in the scriptures or in our churches. It's usually overshadowed by other events of Christ's life, such as the birth of Christ, the baptism of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. In fact, I keep a record of all the messages that I speak. And this is only the second time in all of my ministry that I've actually spoken an entire message around the ascension. Have any of you ever heard a total message about the ascension? Anybody? Nobody? Well, congratulations. You're going to get a first today. Well, one of the things I wanted to bring to your attention was the importance of the ascension and what it means to us both theologically and practically. Do you know what the most quoted verse in the Old Testament is that is found in the New Testament? The New Testament, of course, quotes many times the Old Testament scriptures. But the most often quoted verse of the Old Testament in the New Testament is this. Psalm 110 and verse 1, and it says this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. It is a story of a prophetic voice in Psalm 110 that talks about the ascension. It talks about the fact that even though Christ came to earth, he was going to come back and sit at the right hand of the Father until all things had been completed. Luke was the doctor And as being a doctor, he was a detailed person. At least you hope your doctors are detailed persons. And therefore, he told us some information that the other gospel writers do not tell us. He told us, for example, how many days. He told us the time. He says, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended. He also tells us the place. He says, at Bethany, this took place. If you'll go to Jerusalem or to Israel today, Bethany is at the top of the Mount of Olives. When you're standing at the top of that mount, you can look across the Kidron Valley, and you can, today is the Temple Mount, but at that time would have been the temple that was visible there. Carol and I, several years ago, when we were on our trips to the Holy Land, there is actually a little chapel at the top of that mount, and Bethany is called the Church of the Ascension. It's not a real church, it's more of a little gazebo type of thing. And actually, if you're willing to fork out the $2, you could see the very footprint that Jesus made when he left the earth. How many of you believe that? So I don't know whether it's more foolish to put up something like that or for me to pay the $2 to go see it. But we saw the thing. And we know that that's, of course, not the reality. But we also know that this was the place from which Jesus ascended. Now, the gospel writers help form the understanding of what the ascension means. In Matthew, he ends his gospel story with what we call the Great Commission or an evangelistic appeal. He says, now I want you to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So he's saying to them, I want you to get out and do something now that I have showed you this. In the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 16, he ends his gospel quite differently. When he ends his gospel, he said, these signs shall accompany those who believe. And he starts talking about the power signs and the fact that God's not going to let you out there by yourself. He's going to be with you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to give you the strength to do it. In John chapter 21, we find the story of, as he ends his gospel, he talks about relationships. Remember, he brings Peter in. And he says, Peter, feed my sheep. And he forgives Peter and he reestablishes a relationship with him. And in Luke, we find a promise. He says, in the same way that he ascended into heaven, he shall descend and be back with you again. And so when we put all of these things together concerning the ascension, what we have is this. God is saying to us, the Gospels are saying to us, that when Jesus was preparing to ascend into heaven, he wanted to bless his people, he wanted to encourage them, he wanted to challenge them to tell the story of who he was and what he has done, and he will give them power to do that. And now let's go to Acts chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke begins with the birth story. The Gospel ends with the ascension story. Luke gives us two versions or two complementary passages of this story. First in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates. The Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost or to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And now let's look back at Luke chapter 24, because he adds some details in Luke 24 that he does not tell us in Acts 1. It's the same author. We want to look at verses 50 through 53 in Luke chapter 24. And we had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Let's talk about what does the ascension mean to us in 2009. And the first thing that we get from this is this. The ascension completes Jesus' life here on earth. After the events of Jesus' life and after the crucifixion and the resurrection, nothing would ever be the same again. We certainly know that Jesus would be viewed in a totally different light. This was a clear-cut event, and it could not go back. He could not go back and be born another time. We know that he was not going to die another time because Hebrews said that he died once for all, never to be repeated again. Now, what are we going to do with Jesus? Is he going to just simply live on earth since he's not going to die? Is he going to live forever and ever, and people are going to come to him, and how are they going to treat him, and how is this going to... It's going to be a rather odd experience. And therefore, there had to be an ending to his earthly life so that he could pick up the responsibilities of his heavenly life. And so the deciding issue of the ascension is the Jesus of earth becomes the Christ of heaven. The ascension was the fitting conclusion to his earthly life. It says, when he returned to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he began to make intercession for you and I. Jesus the example became Jesus the intercessor. He became the one that gives us forgiveness of our sins. Now, just like his birth and his resurrection, this was a supernatural event. People normally don't just float off into heaven. And so therefore we know that when this is recorded, as Luke often did for us when there was a supernatural event, he wanted to tell us, here's the witnesses that saw this. I'm not making it up. He talks about the disciples being there. He talks about the two angels coming from heaven. Two in Scripture means the confirmation or the witness thereof. And so he's saying this was the witness that this actually happened. And as Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels came and said, don't be distraught. He's coming back in the same way that he ascended. Can you imagine being there that day? I mean, that would have been such a supernatural event, it would have been almost mind-boggling. Probably Peter was the one who raised his hand and said, Jesus, I got one more question before you go. Would you mind one more thing? The ascension opens up a new day for us as Christians. The ascension was the end of his earthly life. The ascension concluded his public ministry. It opened up the age of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, he says, it is appropriate that I go away, because if I go not away, then my spirit cannot come to you. But in Acts chapter 2, once his earthly body leaves, he now descends upon us with the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2, we find the great story of Pentecost. The great story where he says, I have now come to live within you and give you power to do those types of things that I have challenged you to do in this life. The ascension was the final liberation of Jesus from his limitations of space and time and body. And so now he is freed to lovingly and powerfully infill every believer, every Christian, with his Spirit. And it has enabled us to carry, quote, with us Jesus everywhere we go. The third thing is this. The ascension is a prelude to our ascension. This isn't the first record of an ascension in the Bible. There's actually two other ascensions that are mentioned for us. The first is mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, and it's by a man by the name of Enoch. It says that Enoch was a man of God, and one day he and Jesus were communing, they were talking, and as they were talking along, Jesus said to him, you want to go to my place or yours? He said, how about yours? And he said, okay. And so Enoch was walking with God, and he was not, because God took him. And so he ascended to heaven without an earthly death. The other one is a prophet by the name of Elijah. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, we find the story of Elijah. And as Elijah is prophesying and as he is doing things, he is trying to help his assistant by the name of Elisha. And as he is talking to him and is sharing with him, it says, suddenly a spaceship, a whirlwind came out of heaven and fire took Elijah up to heaven, and he never died as well. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that if we are believers, that when we die, this mortal will be laid down and we will pick up immortal. This perishable will be laid down and we will pick up imperishable. And it is proper that we experience this because we too will ascend into the place where Christ is. Now here's the theological issues of that. The crucifixion of Jesus represents the defeat of the power of sin. The resurrection of Jesus represents the power over death. And the ascension represents the power over the aging process. Can you imagine if there were no physical death? If our bodies continued to decay, if our bodies continued to wither and to get less cognizant and to get less appropriate, and on, we were encased in this physical body forever. The ascension says that's not the way it's going to be. There will be a limited time that we have on earth, but when we die, we will receive a new body, and we will ascend into heaven, even as Jesus has done, and we need not fear that eternal decay. At the death of his friend Lazarus, he said in John 11:26, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, ch, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall never spiritually die. And while our body may lie in the grave, our spirit ascends to meet the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It is the assurance of us that if we are a believer in Christ, when we die, just as Jesus ascended, we also shall ascended. Or we shall ascend. Well, let's go. Well, not yet. Because he also says to us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, the ascension transfers the responsibility to believers. Jesus has done all he is going to do on earth. Jesus has provided us with all of the things that we need. Jesus has given us the story. He has given us the plan of redemption. And now the angels look at them and they say, quit daydreaming and start telling the story to other people. In Matthew 28, he says, go tell this story. And with his ascension, Jesus says, I have finished my work here, and now it's up to you, Tom. Are you going to tell my story? And now it's up to you. Are you going to tell this story? Are you going to keep this story alive? He says, it's the earth, not the sky, that you need to be concentrating on. I want you to be witnesses. I don't want you to be stargazers. I don't want you to sit around daydreaming. I want you to do what God has asked you to do. I want you to get out into the world. I want you to penetrate into your society and share this gospel of the good news of Christ. And Jesus knew at that time that he was sending his disciples out into spiritual battle. And he knew that many of them would suffer from that. He also knew that all of the disciples, save John, were to die a murderer's death. He knew that there were many believers down through the centuries that would suffer because of this story. And he says, I'm going to give you the power to do it, but you got to do it. I'm transferring it to you. It's now up to you as to whether or not you're going to tell the good news of the gospel of Christ. And finally this. The ascension reminds us that God wants to bless us. In Luke chapter 24, it says that as he gathered his disciples to him, that he lifted up his arms unto them, and he blessed them. It's a reminder of us of the Old Testament stories when Jacob blessed each one of his sons before his death. It's a reminder to us of Moses when he blessed the people of Israel before he died on Mount Nebo and in Deuteronomy. I think it's pretty neat that the last picture we get of Jesus is a picture of him blessing people. You know, sometimes when we think of Jesus and we think of God, we think of him with a right hand that's just ready to reach out and to pound people. Or we think of him as someone who's going like this and condemning us and looking at us like this. But here's the last picture you get of Jesus. Blessing us. And when the disciples looked up, they saw the nail prints in his hands. And when the disciples saw him ascend, they saw the love in his eyes. And when the disciples watched as he moved out of sight with the promise that I'll be back again, they were empowered with his spirit. It is a picture of love, of surrender, of service, a picture of blessing. Father, we love you today. And I thank you that you've given us this visual so that we can understand that when we die, our spirit also will ascend unto heaven. And we will be with you forever and ever. And though this earthly body may age and become brittle and decay, our eternal spirits will never decay. For you have promised us eternal life, and this life is in your Son, Jesus. And he who believes in you, even though he dies, yet shall he live. Father, thank you for giving us your promise that you will come to receive us again one day. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Would you stand up with us?